Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the Message to Israel. Is man truly able to know God? If so, how do we come to know Him? The ways in which God has chosen to reveal Himself to man, and why He has chosen to do this, are the subjects of today's broadcast, beginning a new series entitled, The Names of God. I'm happy to introduce our Message to Israel voice for the current series, A.J. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Our subject today is God's revelation of Himself. The prophet Hosea lamented concerning ancient Israel, "There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Yet Isaiah the prophet spoke of a future glorious day, when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. The prophet Habakkuk re-echoed emphatically the prediction, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." How vital is this knowledge of God! Do you know God? Have you assessed your thoughts concerning Him? Do you blame Him or bless Him? Is man truly able to know Him? If so, how do we come to know Him and to increase in this holy ability? The opportunity to know God comes to us because He has revealed Himself to man. And God has graciously endowed man with the capacity to receive this knowledge and to enter into fellowship with Him. God's revelation of Himself takes both a general and a special form. God communicates this general revelation of Himself in nature, history, and conscience. His special revelation comes to man by miracles, the Holy Scriptures, and the Messiah. In His general revelation of Himself, God designs to persuade men to seek Him. Often prominent leaders in the fields of the natural and biological sciences have given testimony to their convictions that nature reveals God. Gifted poets and composers express this same belief in language and music. The psalmist proclaimed, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line or teaching is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." This general revelation of God may be discerned also in an examination of history. Beginning with its antiquity, one may discover in the movement of history the revelation of God's power and providence. The psalmist boldly asserts, "For neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south cometh lifting up. But God is judge. He putteth down one, and lifteth up another." The Tanakh, that is, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, speaks of God's dealings with the nations. God especially reveals Himself through the history of the nation of Israel. The writer of Proverbs insists, "Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." It would be well if the leaders of the nations today would consider the contents of the second psalm. The psalmist depicts mighty men and nations who both ignore and defy God. God remains unshaken on His eternal throne. His ultimate goals cannot be thwarted. He plans in due time to speak from heaven. God declares, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." Meanwhile, the psalmist exhorts rulers and peoples to seek God, to kiss or do obeisance to the Son. The psalmist concludes with the important words, "Blessed are all they who put their trust in Him." God's general revelation of Himself involves not only nature and history, but also the conscience. Conscience is man's discriminative and impulsive faculty with the sense of right and wrong. Animals have instinct. Only man possesses conscience. Far from being self-imposed, the conscience holds before man both God's existence and his accountability to God. The conscience may become defiled, yet it reveals, as stated by the great rabbi from Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. The conscience presents the facts of an absolute law of right and wrong in the universe and the certain existence of a supreme lawgiver who embodies his law in his own person and actions. In addition to this general revelation of God in nature, history, and conscience, there exists the special revelation of God. By this special revelation, God makes himself and his truth known at appointed times and to selected people. This revelation is meant to be shared among all the peoples of the earth. It is granted in miracles, the Holy Scriptures, and supremely in the person of the Messiah, Yeshua. By miracle, we do not speak of some freak of power designed for public show and ostentation. A genuine miracle is an unusual and special event that accomplishes some useful purpose and lasting work, revealing the presence and the power of God. These may be seen often in the history of Israel. They cannot be rationalized away. The resurrection of Yeshua from the dead in accordance with the messianic prophecies is one of the best attested facts and miracles of history. God also reveals himself by his word, the Holy Scriptures. In the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, God has revealed himself in a unique manner through the declarations of his names. These names bore significant meanings, as did most of the names recorded in the Hebrew Scriptures. They indicated character and purpose. Thus, the revealed names of God instruct us concerning his character and his attributes. God is holy, God is love, God is merciful, God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and immutable. His names display his glory and his reality. Since, as King Solomon stated, the heaven of heavens cannot contain God, neither can a single name adequately describe him. Thus the law, the prophets, and the Psalms contain a large number of names and compound names of God, through which he has revealed some facet of his glorious character and his gracious operations. God's revelation of himself by his various names often came in connection with some special need of man. It is marvelous to observe that there is not a need of man to which God's revealed names do not answer. Israel's true resource was discovered to be in God. We do not marvel at the delight of the psalmist's statement, "They that know thy name will put their trust in thee." Have you trusted him? The book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 4, asks these questions. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every Jewish boy could respond to the question, "What is his name?" by giving one of the glorious revealed names of God. But what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? The Lord God directed an answer to the whole house of David through the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." The prophet Isaiah continued to speak of this Holy One. "For unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Centuries later, the angel Gabriel appeared to the virgin and announced, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Yeshua. The angel of the Lord proclaimed to the Jewish shepherds upon the Judean hills when he was born, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The Scriptures declare, God having of old time spoken unto the fathers in the prophets by many portions and in many ways, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son. Yeshua stated, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Yeshua declared to the Father, I have manifested thy name. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Yeshua, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. On that feast of Pentecost, following Yeshua's resurrection, it was declared, There is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Will you trust him?